welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Right, everybody, how are we? I kind of feel like a substitute teacher here today. This is like summer school. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm just really, really excited today. It's kind of funny, I've played out so many times this opening scene. You know what I'm going to say first, because you've got to get the crowd in and you've got to make sure my zip's up and make sure everything's done. But I want to stand here today and just say, I'm standing up here in the boldness of God. It's the Holy Spirit's got me up here. And what I'm going to share today, I just want to encourage you, but any one of you can do what I'm doing here now, but it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I kind of want to, the last time I was up on stage, I was doing a thing called Strictly Comes Dancing. I was doing it with my beautiful wife. Okay, so it was for a charity event. We were at the Le Mans Hotel. I think there was about 600 people, right? And the opening dance was a jive. It was actually the Blues Brothers. They've been practicing for 3 months, and I'm at this part of the stage, okay? So we're doing our jive. Now, because I'm at the front, there's part of the dance, I jump into the crowd, okay? And then we go up and we kind of interact with the crowd and come back out, down. I jumped the gun. I think with the first 30 seconds, I don't know what came over me, the adrenaline, I turned into Michael Flatley and I jumped off the stage. And then I realized, everybody else is on the stage, what I meant to do. I run around the judges, start high-fiving them, then jump back onto the stage and then just start dancing. And it wasn't until later on that night, I was like, what did I do? I jumped off. So please, if I do that today, you'll just know. Okay, the adrenaline kicking in. So last week, Andrew started talking about the book of Acts. Now, for me, this is my favorite Bible. It's my favorite part of the Bible. Acts gets me excited is because I'm hungry to see the move of the Holy Spirit. I'm fed up saying, I kind of feel that as Christians, we're just getting beat and beat, where God's like screaming at us, going, no, you've got me living inside you. And that's what gets me excited about the book of Acts. Now, I kind of want to paint a little picture here. So I went to Caris Bible College, and in your second year, you do a mission trip. Now, in previous years, people have gone to South America. They've gone to exotic places around the world. And we were being told that we were possibly going to Belize. So I was going, fantastic, going to Belize, somewhere different. Turned out I ended up going to Carlo, down south. A wee bit deflated, because I was like thinking, seriously, Lord? But what an amazing experience Carlo was. We had a whole week of programs organized down in Carlo and home groups. But it was the home groups in the evenings that was amazing. We had homes filled out, maybe 50, 60 people. And they were all hungry for the gospel. They're all hungry for this love of Jesus. And I can remember one evening, I was leading a home group, and I came to the Q&A section of the night. And if anybody knows me, I'm a real insecure, nervous person. I don't want to speak. I just definitely do not want to be up here. But that night, the Holy Spirit gave me such a boldness. And these people were firing me questions. What about this? What about that? And I was just knocking them out of the park. I was just like, this is unreal. But I had such a confidence, and it just flowed through me. It was like when you read Stephen in the Bible, the Holy Spirit came upon him, he had such boldness. That was me. And I was going, it was just unbelievable. God was doing this through me. So I want to just kind of show you through to scriptures today. We're going to, if you can show the first slide, please. Oh, it's already up. Okay. So we all know the story about Peter and John. And about the beggar. And I just want to put it in context as well that this is for us. This passage is for us today. What we're about to read, we can do, okay? So I'm going to start off. When he noticed, so this is the beggar, okay? So the beggar notices Peter and John. When he noticed Peter and John going into the temple, he begged them for money. And when John Peter, looking straight into the eyes of the crippled man, said, look at us. So he's going, look at us. Expecting the gift, he readily gives them his attention. Then Peter says, I don't have any money, but I'll give you this. By the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. Peter held out his right hand to the crippled man. As he pulled the man to his feet, suddenly the power surged into the crippled man's feet and ankles. The man jumped up, stood there for a moment, stunned, and began to walk around. Now, this is the Passion Translation. What I love about it is when it says that suddenly power surged, okay? Now, I experienced that this morning. Before the service, Meg, you prayed with me, okay? And like, I'm getting emotional now because It's the power of God inside me. It's that love. And when she prayed for me, boom, you could feel that power. That's why I stand up here confidently. I'm not nervous. And it's that boldness. But what I love about it was the laying of hands. So what I kind of look at that scripture and what it gets me excited about it is you and I can do that. How many times have we seen someone in our life that we want to have that superpower, superhero power, and just go boom, and then see that change? And there we see it. But what I'm going to show you later on in scriptures, how did they get that? How did they get that confidence? So we go to the next slide. Okay, so dumbfounded over what they were witnessing, the crowd ran over to Peter and John, who were standing under the covered walkway called Solomon's Porch. Standing there also was the healed beggar, clinging to Peter and John. With the crowd surrounding him, Peter said to them all, "People of Israel, listen to me. Why are you so amazed by this healing? Why do you stare at us? We didn't make this crippled man walk by our own power or authority. The God of our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has done this. For he has glorified his servant, Jesus Christ, the one who is denied to Pilate's face." So I want to fast forward to verse 16, because this is where it gets exciting. Because it's the name of Jesus. So faith in the name of Jesus has healed this man standing before you. It is the faith that comes through believing in Jesus' name that has made this crippled man walk right in front of your eyes. Now, we've heard that all before, okay? We've heard that you say the name of Jesus and things happen. And I've prayed over circumstances and situations, and I didn't see it. But what I want to unpack later on is what it is that gets them to that level of faith and boldness. Because we've got to remember, Peter and John are just normal people. And the Holy Spirit fell upon them. If we go on to the next. But in spite of all what they've done, God fulfilled and foretold through the prophets long ago about the sufferings of the Anointed One. And now must we repent and turn back to God, for the sins will be removed. And so the times of refreshing will stream in the Lord's presence, and he will send Jesus, the Messiah, the chosen one for you. Right. What I want to explain is Jesus, I've kind of lost my train of thought. Peter and John, the healing, that power that went through them. I kind of experienced it when I was in Carlow. There was this farmer. So there was a healing room ministry that we went to help out. And there was this farmer, and I would say in his late 50s, he was a bachelor, and he'd been single pretty much all his life, but he was so twisted and bitter, and he had so much hurt and pain. And when we started talking to him, it was just venom. He was a victim. He hated everyone and everything, and he was kind of feeling sorry for himself. So I started talking about giving my testimony and started talking about God's love and the goodness of God. And he was like, "Oh, I don't know, you know." And I said, "But are you happy living like this?" And he's like, "No, I want to kill myself." I said, "I just want to die." So I says, "Right, please, please don't do that." I says, "I've had suicidal thoughts myself. I know what it's like, but just let Jesus in." So the guy gave his heart to God, which was fine. But I said, God wants to give you something else. He wants to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. But that's what's going to give you the power to be able to change, to beat your addictions, to beat your demons. So the guy said, just all you have to do is hold out your hands and receive. It's a free gift. And you know what? What was amazing was that guy changed right in front of my eyes. When he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I seen his face light up. I'm not exaggerating. His face lit up. There was joy in this guy's life for the first time. Now, if anyone's ever seen anyone demon-possessed, it's complete opposite. They're destroying their all. When you see the power of God in someone being set free, and for many of us in here, we've had that joy. We've had that experience of being set free. So going back to that, it's so important. For me, that experience, how it worked was laying of hands. It was me moved by compassion, because I was looking at this guy. I don't want him to be the same. I want him to be set free. And I believe that Peter and John looked at this guy with compassion as well, seeing this beggar and just saying, I don't want him like this anymore. And that what they said, what I have, I give to you, which is Jesus. So I also want to, let me see. Yes, if we go on to chapter 4. Okay, so chapter 4, basically Peter and John have just annoyed everybody. Everybody's grumpy at them and really angry, and they're arrested. And it's kind of like, if we were to do some supernatural things today, you would have religious folk going, oh, that's not God. That's people staging that. That's performance. But we're always going to have that in the church. You're always going to have people, when they see signs, wonders, and miracles, they're always going to be opposed to it. There's always going to be religious people saying, that's not God. And I can actually remember, I'd hope you don't mind, but I remember you sharing with me. And that was at the same time I was getting this message about, I'm actually talking about Heather, about we're talking about her testimony and standing alongside her because I believe that God heals. And there was a lot of disbelief in that crowd that you were in. And it was lovely seeing this woman stand up and go, no, I believe in the goodness of God. And seeing her stand here today, that's us celebrating as a church. That's us celebrating as one. It's fantastic. So what I also want to talk about, they're annoyed. So they're arrested. They're trying to shut them up. If you go on to the next bit. Okay, so actually, you know what? I'm just going to go straight because I've got about 15, 20 minutes. If you go on to the next bit, sir. Okay, this is the part I want to skip to. So number 12, verse 12. So this is chapter 4, 12 to 14. There's no one else who has the power to save us, for the only one is God. Sorry, but it's 13. This is what I want you to capture today. Sorry if I feel like I'm skipping, but I'm just so excited, all right? I just want to get to the chunky stuff. It was the council members were astonished as they witnessed the bold courage of Peter and John, especially when they discovered that they were just ordinary men. They're just like you and me. There's nothing special about them. Who had never had religious training. Then they began to understand the effect Jesus had on them simply by spending time with him. And that's all we have to do, is spend time with Jesus. Spend time, get to know him. Look at it this way. My mom, sadly, will be dead 6 years this November. And my Lucy was only a couple of months old. So this is my daughter, was only a couple of months old when my mom died. Lucy only knows of my mom through my stories, my wife's stories, or anybody else's stories, but Lucy will never know my mom. And the same way with God, many of us, right, we live our lives through books, other people's interpretations of God. We read commentaries of what that man interprets of what the message is about, but never know God for themselves. And it's kind of like, it's as silly as like having a manual. Like imagine I'm married, this is my wife beside me, and I have a book of different people's interactions with my wife, but I never interact with her myself. If you get that, do I know her? I don't know her. And that's the way so many people live this Christian walk. They don't know him. Like, God wants to have a relationship with us where he wants us to talk about our hobbies. He wants us to talk about, I love computer games. He wants me to talk, I love FIFA. He wants to sit down and go, this is my favorite team. This is what I love to do. But we're like, that's blasphemous, but that's not, God loves us. He's passionate about us. He's written poetry about us. He sings songs about us. And yet we think we can't have a conversation with him. And it's kind of like I've been there. Like I am guilty of it. My whole relationship with God in the past was like maybe 10 minutes in the morning. And then see you later, big lad. And then want to get things done. And struggling. Why am I not going anywhere? I don't feel his presence. But spend time with him. Again, I go back. It's like having a relationship with my wife. If I just spend 10 minutes with her in the morning, that's no good. I don't know her. And majority of the time, my prayer life was just me, me, me. So this is what I also love about what God's doing. My next slide is a radio slide. Tuning in. If you put on... Can you hear that? So you're tuning in. And this is what I felt really, really strongly today. This is where God wants to take us. He wants us to tune into him. No more games. He wants to have a connection with us. So what does this look like? This is what gets me excited. When we start tuning into God's voice, start tuning in, we can start doing supernatural things like Peter and John done. Like right now, in this street, people have walked past this building whose lives are broken and hurt. and because us, and I'm talking about myself, I'm ignorant. I don't hear their cries because I'm not busy worried about what am I going to get for dinner? What will I do tonight? I'll have a game of FIFA. No, I'll watch Netflix. What am I going to watch on Netflix? It's all about me, me, me. But God's now saying, world, stop. Come to me. It's not about us. It's about his plan. Because we're going to heaven. The ones who are saved, we're going to heaven. And we want to take as many as God's children with us as possible. But it's like, imagine this. If we were to start tuning into him. Imagine we were to leave this building. Each one of us leave this building. And even go to the spa. And whoever we meet in the spa could be the sales assistant. If we're tuned into God, we can hear their hurt, their pain, their suffering, and we can speak right into it. How cool is that? That's ordinary folk like you and me. And that's why God has positioned us in the different workplaces that we're in, because we get to do this. And I don't think it's a coincidence that you look at the internet, you look at the times that we're in, we know that we're in the end days, okay? But imagine, okay. I mean, I'm going to say this, right? What I'm fed up with is humanism. And it's human effort. And that's what a lot of Christians have done, a lot of churches do. Like a couple of years ago, a thing went viral. It was a church, and I'm not putting the church down, but their donations, I think it was a collection, they gave to this pizza delivery guy. And everybody's going, that's amazing, that's fantastic. Anybody could do that. I'm sorry for knocking it. Does anybody know that story? So a couple of years ago, this church service was on and they ordered a pizza. And the pizza delivery guy came and he delivered the pizza and they had the congregation money and they give it to him. And they're all going, that's brilliant. But I'm thinking, that's not God's heart. God's heart wants to set that guy free. He wants them healed, saved. And anybody can do that. And I'm not dissing that church, but that's not God. God wants to do the supernatural. He wants to do the things that no man can do. It's his power. And imagine right now, if we were to go out and even just, we could set Belfast alight in 10 minutes. And then you've got social media. You heal someone. Suddenly it's on a phone. Suddenly it's on 3.3 billion people. An audience of 3.3 billion people can see that. That's the times that we live in. And I want to see the power of God. I want to see him do the supernatural. I want the disbelief that the world has of God, I want it wiped out. Because I kind of feel that God needs a new image. In the sense that he's been branded this as this horrible guy. If you look, because comedians and a lot of people will kind of look at God in the Old Testament and say he's sick and he killed this and killed that. That's not God's heart. God's a God of love. And it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. And when we start living our lives in tune with the Holy Spirit, people will start seeing these testimonies pop up left, right, and center. So, today my whole heart was just simply this. I just don't want us to be the same when we come in and go out and just play life. And I'm talking about myself. I'm declaring this in front of you. I want to be changed. I want to do what Peter and John's done. I want God to position me in a place where I'm in tune with him and I do supernatural things. I want to see healings. If, like anyone who's lost anybody, it's a horrible feeling. That wasn't God's best. But I want to stop that. I want cancer. I want to eradicate cancer. I want to come against it because that's God's plan. And he needs a vessel. And I'm saying, use me. And even standing up here today, even if I've mucked up my whole talk, which in parts I have, I don't care. Because you know what? I'm standing and I'm just saying, look at devil, you didn't defeat me. I'm standing here boldly and I'm only going to get stronger and stronger and you can't stop me. And the fact is I've got a family in here who's going to get stronger and stronger. And it's teamwork. We do this together. Gone are the days that we're in competition because we've got the same source. We've got God, the same source inside us. But the important thing is that we've got to use our gifts and talents. But that's spending time with Jesus. And when you look at Jesus, he modeled it out for us in the Bible. How many times do you see in Scripture, Jesus went off to pray, Jesus went off to pray, Jesus went off to pray. And yet, we kind of think we can do it a different way than him. And I'm the biggest culprit of this. You've got to spend time with the Father. And one of the ways that I believe that God wants to speak to us is through your personality. And I'll be honest with you, I love the Word of God, it's good, but I struggle. And my mind wanders. And if you look at the distractions that we're faced with today, like never before, like you only have to go onto your phone and I'm hooked. Like, I spend an hour a day on Facebook. It tells me, it comes up, you spent an hour. 7 hours a week. And then you do the math over the month and then the year. And I'm like going, I don't feel any better. And we're all guilty of it. If it's not Facebook, it's something else. And then I go onto YouTube. YouTube's the next biggest culprit because it just slides onto the next video. And before you know it, you start off with something really good and then you end up, how did I get here? And again, that's another hour gone. And then I'm so annoyed at myself because I've done that. And then I'm like, God, I'll see you tomorrow, big lad. But he says, come to me now. And I know this is the fight that we're in. It's our attention. And we've got to somehow realize that it's not about us. It's about him. Because he's given this world to us. A man has got a free will. And God is wanting to save people's lives. There's people down the street, as I've said, there's people around us, people in this room, God's like, please, I want to help you. But he needs vessels like us to work through. And the same thing that applies to the devil. He needs a host. He needs a body. And there's a fight in our bodies, good and bad. And it's as simple as that. If you look at any sci-fi movie, an alien species comes in and it needs a host, gets into a human body and starts using that body, it's the same thing with God. He needs a host, and that's us. And I've had to discipline myself more and more to say, right, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about him. It's about him. And when you spend time with him, your heart's broken. And that's what you stand up on stage like this here, because you're just going, I just want to change the world. But one thing I want to make clear is God is never late. And 20 years ago, I went to New York. So I'm coming 36 this Friday. And when I was 16, I don't know if you ever heard of Metro Ministries, but it was in New York. And it has, I think it's the biggest Sunday school in America. And it just changed my life. Firsthand, I got to see it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance, just showing love. I remember working in the ghetto, as they call it, the ghetto, Spanish Harlem, as rough as you can get. And I can remember we have a big yellow bus goes out into the streets, and they just have fun games and just show love. And they talk about Jesus and God. And one of the things that got me to do was, because I like football, I started doing some soccer skills. So I'm like juggling the ball and I'm trying to show all the kids how to do this. And there's one wee kid who just melted me. And so he's holding my hand. So this kid doesn't even know me. And remember, I'm 16 years of age. I've shaved my hair for the first time. I look like a neo-Nazi in the middle of Spanish Harlem. And here this wee kid is holding my hand. And I'm just going, this is unreal. But it was that love. And when I was leaving, that kid was screaming and kicking the bus. Don't forget me. Don't forget me. And it impacted my life. But I've had to wait 20 years. But I thank God that I've had to wait 20 years because God has perfected me. He's matured me. And I'm ready. This is the season. We're all ready. And I don't speak just for myself. We're all in this room. God has prepared us for this time. God saves the best for last because we are the most privileged generation to ever walk this earth. We're about to see things that no human eye has ever seen. Jesus says that you will do what I've done and greater. Jesus walked through walls. Like, so I can't even do that. He's done that. So I'm like thinking, right, what can I do? Does that not blow you away? That gets me excited. Like, you look at all these Harry Potter movies and you know, all this stuff and kids are like, I want to be like that. God said, you can do that. You're going to do greater. So it's like, but it's changing the world. And the whole part thing about it is it's meant to be fun. And I think this season that we're going into, God is like, be like kids again. What's your wildest dream? God is actually daring you to think big, think outrageous. And he's saying, come on, what's your dream? I'm going to do it. Watch this. And every day it's meant to get better and better because Jesus said, Jesus says, you're meant to live heaven here on earth. And we're not. And I'm fed up. I want to live heaven here on earth. I want every day to get sweeter and sweeter and better and better. And talking about the loved ones, talking about people, like my mom. My mom's up in heaven who can see the big picture screaming at me, come on, Davy boy, focus, focus. Because she can see, she sees what she's missed out. And there's so many of us, I don't want to get to heaven and just go, oh man, I've missed it. Because I want to have fun. I want to have joy in my life every day. It's going to get sweeter and sweeter, but it's only spend time with him. Now, I'm going to do something a wee bit different, but I'm going to play a classical piece, okay? And I'm going to get used to stand up, but I believe this piece, I'll put context to it. When I said to you that God speaks through personalities, okay, so God will speak through to you through your personality. So if you like going for walks, go for a walk. God will speak to you through there. Music is something that God speaks to me through. And when I listen to this piece of music, I get so excited because to me, it shows me what it's like when the Holy Spirit's inside you. And it shows me what it looks like. Well, it sounds like when the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit are starting to grow. And I'm going to talk over the song. I'll let you hear the song. Let me see. So if this set up, so I should be able to do this. Is it on PC volume? I've got it here, Clements. All right, it should, in theory, play. No. Let me see. Technology, fantastic. Can you put it up a wee bit, Clements? So I want you to imagine, this is you speaking, right? But this is you speaking without the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's just your voice. And that's what we've done for years. Just we've spoken over situations, it's just been us. If you can crank it up a bit, Clements. I just want you to really feel this, okay? But this is what it sounds like when you've got the Holy Spirit in you. Dimension, okay? So you get a bit more confident, spend time with God, okay? But you listen to this. This is when you realize who you really are. Are you ready? Hear this. Close your eyes and imagine. Here we go. Hear that. That's the force that's living inside you right now. That's the power that you've got. So you've got that power wherever you go, okay? So when you walk into this McDonald's, wherever you go, your workplace, you've got that sound inside you that wants to jump out. And it just gets more and more powerful. It's okay, no, play the whole thing. Crank it up, okay? But this next part of the song is what the Holy Spirit, what I believe the fruits of the Spirit sounds like in our lives. You ready? You crank it up. I'm sorry. Do you hear that? Joy. This life here on earth is meant to be joy. It's meant to be exciting. It's meant to be fun. God wants you to have fun. He's like a kid in the sweetie shop. He said, go out, go mad. All these sounds is just joy. That's what we're meant to experience every day. And it's just, center, here we go. That's what it's like living this life as a Christian. To me, that's what it sounds like. And I don't know about you, but today I want to experience that for real. I just don't want to imagine it in my head. I want to walk out of this room different. And I kind of want to invite us all. Again, I don't want to force anybody. But do you not want that? Do you not want to have that joy? Because I want that joy that casts out all fear. I'm sick and tired of being afraid. I'm sick and tired of being insecure. Oh, there we go. Turn that off. But I am. I don't want to play this game anymore. And I've tried to kind of hold back the tears, but God needs us. And I don't want to manipulate you. I'm not trying to force you. I'm just saying God is inviting us. If anybody's ever seen The Matrix, okay, go with this. But there's a scene in The Matrix where there's a choice between two pills. And God is saying that today. He's saying, do you want to go on this journey? To go on that journey, you've got to hand over your life to me. But let me tell you, in return, I will give you the best life you can ever imagine. And I'm fed up. My life up until now, yes, it's been good, but I've done it myself. And I'm just saying, God, right, I want to live out my dreams. And the beautiful thing about it is his dreams are better than my dreams. And the reality is he knows me better than I know myself. And I'm just saying, we're called to exchange. So why don't today we exchange our lives completely, hold nothing back, and just say, right, God, we are going to be a people that are going to do the impossible. And we're going to see testimonies like this of people being healed supernaturally, limbs being grown. Like, do you want to know, I had a crazy thought. Imagine me preaching today, my hair started growing. But seriously, I was just thinking, wouldn't that be on the cameras? I tell you what, there'd be some people going, getting saved, seeing my hair grow back. But the fact is, we can do anything. God is saying, he's so excited. He says, come on. So today I don't even know what way to do this. But even if you just want to sit, and I want to declare over us that I want a refreshing of the Holy Spirit. I want that joy, I want that peace, but I want that boldness. Because I want to be bold that I can go up to someone, and we've all experienced it, what we call the unction of the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we've all backed out of it. I've backed out so many times. But I'm so grateful for the people that have spoken into my life who didn't back out. And that's the way this thing works. Love, just when somebody loves you, you want to love them back. And that's the way we're meant to be as a body of Christ. We're meant to support, we're meant to help each other. And that's why when we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, we can start ministering to one another and start building each other up. Because far too long we've torn each other down and we've hurt each other. And that's gone. It's a new system. God is doing something new, and I want to be part of it. So, Father God, today, I just thank you. I just thank you, Father, for all your sons and daughters here. And Lord, you know our hearts, you know our insecurities, you know our fears, you know what we're going through. And I just pray right now. In fact, I command right now through the power of the Holy Spirit that you would start ripping out every lie the enemy's spoken over us. Everything that he's tried to do to hinder us, we destroy it in the name of Jesus. And I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you start refreshing us. Holy Spirit, that you start stirring us up. But we want to have a relationship with you, Father. And I pray that this week that we would start living that out. We would start doing that. We would start to spend time with you. And I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, start to woo us. Start to draw us close to you. I just pray as well, if anybody at the end of the service wants prayer, we want to pray for you. And if anybody's not baptized in the Holy Spirit, let me tell you, this is what makes the whole thing work. Because you cannot do this in your own effort. You cannot do this in your own strength. And look what Jesus was able to do when the Holy Spirit fell upon him. Remember, it was the Holy Spirit that gave him the power to be able to do all the miracles, supernatural things. So today, I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, just stir us up. Father God, I just unite us under your love, that we are your sons and daughters, and we want to change this world for you. In Jesus' holy and worthy name we ask it.